State Representative Shane Hernandez beginning his second term there, and he joins us right now on the line. Good morning, Shane.
Morning, Paul.
Well, I want to talk about lame duck first, because we talked frequently during the lame duck legislative session. It gained national attention for the amount of legislation and the kind of legislation that was included. As you look at it now in the rear view, what are your thoughts on how all that transpired?
Well, my first thoughts, I'm happy to move on. It was a stressful time. There was a lot done, and I think it was predictable. People had talked for quite some time that if the governorship is lost, it's going to be one thing. If you lose the House, it'll be another thing. So I think that there was some idea it was coming, but it's been so long since that's happened, I'm not sure that anybody truly understood what that meant and how tough it would really get.
Certainly, a lot of Michiganders looked at that and said, you know, why didn't they do all this in the last 2 years? Why are they waiting until the last 2 weeks of the term to get this done? And obviously, it's political, but it is frustrating to watch that all happen.
Yeah, and it can be frustrating to be part of it too. And I think, while some of it's political, it happens every 2 years with lame duck. And for every bill that was controversial, there were 30, 40 bills that were bipartisan as well. And for whatever reason, that happens every 2 years, that you're running out of time to get things done and things start to move. And that's when the House and the Senate, the governor, start to make those deals on bills that may not be controversial, but have just been held up.
Yeah. Is there going to be any carryover from, what went on in lame duck into this next session? Obviously, there are a lot of new faces there. A lot of the old faces are still there, though.
I think with the turnover and how many new faces come in, I think even with the people who do carry over, there's a lot of people who are ready to move on. I think there's issues that this new governor and the Republican legislature might agree on, and that we're going to look for areas to work together. So I think that for the most part, we're going to move on from that.
What are some of those areas that you might find agreement, may be able to at least work in some compromise? What are the priorities, I guess, early in 2019?
There's a few things that come to mind where I think that we can work with this governor. I think that the Freedom of Information Act transparency package that the House passed almost 2 years ago, I think a lot of the reason that was held up was the governor had some concerns about it. I think this governor is going to be more open to that package. I think that no-fault auto insurance is going to continue to be worked on. I think there's going to be more interest in working together with the other side on that issue. I think even the pension tax issue could be discussed. A lot of what was holding that up was the governor.
You have an interesting appointment, too, in the State House. Tell us what you're going to be doing.
Yeah, I will be chairing the Appropriations Committee for the House, which means I oversee the budget committees, so somewhere in the neighborhood of $57 billion of state funding. I think it's going to be a very important task going forward with a split government, because the budget is the one thing that the legislature is constitutionally required to do.
Yeah. When will you get a draft budget, do you suppose, from Governor Whitmer?
Well, that would typically happen in the beginning of February. Being that she's a new governor, the Constitution does give her an extra 30 days to do that. So we're looking probably, I don't think she'll use the entire 40 days. I think we're looking probably towards the end of February. We'll have our constitutional revenue conference in January here soon, and we'll be off the ground and running soon.
You and she both said the same thing, just in different ways. Her phrase was the one that grabbed the headlines and was used in her campaign literature, and that is fix the damn roads. And you said we got to fix the roads as well. Do you think you'd be able to find agreement on how to go about doing that?
I think it's going to be a little bit difficult to find an agreement, although I do believe both sides are going to be interested in prioritizing existing money. I think that she wants to go above and beyond that. I would caution that we're still paying debt from the Engler days when they issued bonds to do road repairs, and because of that today there's $200 million in debt payments every year. So I would caution going down that route. But I do believe both sides of this are going to be willing to prioritize existing dollars towards roads.
The new governor has issued her first executive director directive, and it was essentially, ceremonial, but it was in direct response to the Flint water crisis. She says any state worker that knows of something that might endanger the health of Michiganders, that needs to be reported up the chain of command and investigated. Do you agree with that?
Well, I haven't looked into the language of that specifically. I think that obviously when a state department is aware of something that could affect the health of a large group of people, we want to know about that. I also think you have to be concerned about it on individual cases of, does that mean state workers in homes that are in homes for child protective services? Obviously on our side, we're, you know, there's privacy issues with individuals and things like that. I would be concerned on that side, but yeah, I mean, I think we need to make sure that the department is doing all it can to report those concerns to someone higher up. Obviously, we had a serious case with Flint, and I don't think it was unexpected for her to go after that issue as soon as she got into office.
No, certainly it's one of the things that she campaigned on. What still needs to happen in Flint to help the people there? Because as we hear it, and of course, you know, we're not there and in the middle of it, but there's still work that needs to be done. A lot of people in Flint say they still can't drink the water.
Yeah, I think, one thing that gets missed in all this is there's still dollars being appropriated to Flint in this current enacted budget. There's still dollars going towards replacing the water lines in Flint. Obviously, I believe one of the things she came in and said too is she was going to reopen the bottled water. I know Governor Snyder had cut that off. I think we need to just keep an eye on how those dollars are being spent in Flint. I do believe that there's some waste and misappropriation of the dollars that are going there, but at the same time, this legislature has never balked at spending the dollars on Flint that were necessary to replace those lines.
Well, it's going to be an interesting year ahead, I'm sure, and you'll be rolling up your shirt sleeves pretty soon, getting into it there, aren't you?
Yeah, it's going to get, the beginning of the year is a little bit slow, but as we get into March and April, that's when this budget is going to heat up. That's when it's going to get really busy for me. We're going to get to see how this governor is going to work and how we're going to be able to work together with her, and I look forward to it. I have a lot of optimism that we'll be able to work through that process. Obviously, we're going to have those usual bumps in the road, but I think that she is somebody that's going to be willing to compromise and work together, and I think that we're coming in with that same idea that we're looking for areas to work with her and her administration and her departments, and we want to keep things moving forward for Michigan.
All right. Sounds good, Shane. We always appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye.